I want you to turn with me to a couple of places, John's Gospel, the 10th chapter, and we'll look in verse 10, then we'll jump back to chapter 8 and look at a verse there also. We've been teaching here, Pastor John's been teaching on liberty and freedom and walking in the freedoms of God and being set free from certain areas, and I just want to kind of tie into that theme. And here in John 10:10, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Amen. That they might have it more abundantly. Now, you know, I can remember that was one of the greatest revelations that I believe I ever received, was that it was not God putting things bad on my life to teach me something. Amen. So many times when something bad takes place, we think it's the Lord trying to do something to teach us, to make us humble or whatever, you know. Well, the Lord put that sickness on me to teach me. Well, I've got news for you. God doesn't use things that kill, steal, and destroy to teach you. Amen. If it's killing, stealing, destroying, if it's causing you to be in bondage, if it's a hindrance, it did not come from God. Amen. God doesn't use the devil's tools to teach us. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. In John 16, the chapter there in verse 13, he says, "He's the Spirit of truth and he will guide you in all truth." Amen. God teaches us through the Word. God put pastors and teachers in the church to expound the Word to us. Hallelujah. And so therefore, we learn through the Word. We learn by the Spirit. We learn through the ministry gifts that have been placed in the church. Amen. Somebody says, "Well, we learn by experience." Yeah, but experience isn't the best teacher. It's the hardest teacher. Somebody says, "What do you mean it's a hard teacher?" Well, you know, you come up and it's somebody standing there and they say, don't touch that. It's hot. And you go ahead and touch it and find out it's hot. Well, you got an experience now that lets you know that's hot. You also have a blister on your hand, hallelujah, that you get to carry around with you for a few days. How many of you know it would have been better to listen to the guy that told you that's hot, don't touch it, amen? So it's a whole lot better to learn from a teacher than it is to have to go out and experience the struggle yourself, amen? And so God teaches us. So the Lord Jesus here is laying down the truth to you and me that God does not put bondage, burdens, hindrances, and stuff on you to teach you. It's the devil coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." So the Lord, when he gets involved with us, it's always to produce better life. Well, wasn't he led by the Spirit into the wilderness? Yeah, but there's a difference in the Lord leading you to confront an enemy than the enemy leading you into a trap. I'm going to say it again. The Lord wasn't led by the devil into a trap. He was led by the Spirit to go confront the devil to defeat him so he can launch his ministry. Amen? So yes, will the Lord lead me at times to face a tough situation? Absolutely. That's what faith is for. Mark 11, 23, Jesus said you have to speak to your mountain, not about your mountain. Amen? So if you're speaking to it, that means you have to confront it. Amen. So the Lord was led into the wilderness to confront his adversary, the devil, and to defeat him with the Word of God. Now, that's different than you and me going out here and the devil setting up a trap and us falling into it. Amen. So the Lord Jesus always does things to produce life in us. Now, in John chapter 8, we jump back over here. And if you jump down here to John chapter 8 and verse 36, you'll find that the Lord Jesus also says something. He says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Ooh, I like that one. Amen. I like the Amplified. It reads it this way. "So if the Son liberates you, makes you free men, then you are really and unquestionably free." Hallelujah. Amen. Now, who's going to set you free? Jesus is going to set you free. Amen. And notice this. He says, now, if the Lord Jesus gets involved, and here's where we get in trouble, folks. A lot of times we have a problem. We take it to everybody but the one that can set us free. Come on. Do you know that even your pastor laying hands on you can't set you free if you don't let Jesus work through him? Amen. Hallelujah. See, we operate in his authority and under his behalf, but it's the Lord that saves, it's the Lord that fills, it's the Lord that heals, it's the Lord that delivers. Amen. And notice this. He says, "And if the Son sets you free, you are really, liberally, completely, unqualified free from whatever it was that had you in bondage." Amen. Now, that's really important for you to get a hold of. Because, you see, we need to understand that if the Lord sets us free, we are really free. If He heals me, I'm really healed. Amen? If He delivers me from some kind of a hindrance in my life, I'm truly, truly delivered from that. Amen. It's no question about it. It's unquestionably, I'm set free. Amen? Now, how does the Lord set me free? How does the Lord deliver me? How does the Lord heal me? How does the Lord bless me? How does He bring me out of that place of bondage that has been holding me back? How does the Lord truly set me free? Well, look in Psalm 107. The 107th Psalm over here, David tells us exactly how the Lord's going to set you free. In the 107th Psalm, we'll drop down here to verse 19 and read there. But, you know, in verses 1 and 2, it's amazing. David sets this up, and listen to what he says. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed or delivered from the hand of the enemy. So David is speaking to those who have been redeemed or purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Those who have already been delivered. Amen. Now, I'm setting that up because I also want to get rid of another lie that the devil peddles. See, the devil will come along first of all and say, well, God put that on you to teach you. And then he'll get some religious preacher to stand in the pulpit to confirm it for you. Amen. And then this is the next thing. The devil will come along and say, well, if you was truly saved, you wouldn't have that problem. Anybody ever had that lie to you? Okay? And he'll condemn you, and he'll tell you that you're unworthy, and you're probably not even saved. That's probably the reason is. And why would you go back to church? Because you're really not saved. Because if you're really saved, you're the redeemed of the Lord. And if you're the redeemed of the Lord, you shouldn't have that problem. Amen? But let's drop down here to verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord. Who cried out to the Lord? The same ones that were supposed to say, we're the redeemed of the Lord. Amen? The same ones that are supposed to know in their lives that Jesus is the Lord and God is good and His mercy endures forever. Same ones that have been delivered from the hand of the enemy. Now listen to what David is saying. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. You mean the redeemed can have some trouble? Amen. After you got saved, did any of you in here still have any trouble? Once you gave your heart to the Lord, were there still some things you're going to have to overcome in your life? Amen. I don't know about you, but I was far from perfect whenever I gave my heart to the Lord. Amen. I'm still far from perfect. I've made some strides. Thank God I'm not where I was, but I'm not nearly where I need to be. Amen. But notice what he says to these people. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. How did He save them out of that distress? How did the Lord deliver them out of that bondage that they got themselves into? He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Hallelujah. So how does the Lord set us free? He sets us free through the word of God. Amen. That word in the Hebrew, you know, some of the different definitions had a whole list of definitions go with it. But one definition was He delivers them through His message, or He delivers them through His promises, or He delivers them through His provision that He tells you about in His word. Amen. And so how is the Lord going to set you free? How did you get set free from sin? You heard the word that Jesus died for you. God raised Him from the dead, made Him Lord. And if you'd accept Him in your heart, confess Him with your mouth, you would be saved from your sins. When you believe that and receive that, you know what it did? It set you free from sin. Amen? Guess what? God sets us free from every hindrance the same way. He sets us free through the word of God. Amen? In fact, Isaiah 55:11 says, the word that God sends forth or speaks out, it will not return to Him void. It was sent forth to produce, and it will produce what He sent it to do. Amen? In fact, if you want to get a hold of this and really grab it and make it real in your life, Hebrews 1:3 says that God upholds all things by the word of His power. Isn't that right? So if we're going to get set free, guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to receive the word that God sends to us and begin to let it operate in our life. Amen? Now, there are two things you're going to have to do before the word will actually deliver you. before the word will actually set you free. The first one is found in James chapter 1 and verse 21. I could quote it to you, but let's just go ahead and look at it for a moment. I believe it does as good to just see some of these things. James chapter 1, verse 21. What's the very first thing you're going to have to do if that word, the power of God's word, is going to set you free? First thing is found here in James 1, 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted or engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The first thing you're going to have to do is make a decision who you're going to hear, who you're going to receive, whose word are you going to receive. He says you have to make a decision. Are you going to lay down, lay aside, cast off all that superfluous? Do you have knowledge or that overflow of wickedness? In other words, are you going to make a decision? I'm going to quit thinking like that, and I'm going to receive the word that God has sent to me and let that word begin to change my thinking and my attitude so that I no longer see myself bound. I begin to see myself liberated. Amen? See, you have to receive the word. It won't do you any good. God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. But it won't heal you or deliver you if you won't first receive it. Amen. That's why Jesus taught, let them to have ears to hear, let them hear. Meaning what? You have to make a decision. I'm going to not only just hear this, I'm going to receive this. So many times we sit in a service and we begin to hear a message that begins to deal with a problem that we have. And you know what we do? We have a tendency to listen to the wrong voice and shut off the preacher, shut off the word, and protect our hurt. All of a sudden, this overflow of wickedness, these wrong thinkings that have been built up that are holding you, all that filthiness of bondage, it begins to jump up and it begins to fight, because it knows the moment that you allow that word to get into your mind, it's going to change what you think. It's going to change your attitude. That word saved there doesn't mean born again. It means to restore, refurbish, replenish, renew. And God is saying the first thing you've got to do if you want to be free is whenever you hear that word, don't sit there and fight the word. Don't sit there and deny the word. Don't sit there and hang on to that which has held you in bondage. Let the word be engrafted into your mind, because that word will flush out the wrong thinking and begin to get you in the right frame of mind so you can actually be free. If you see yourself bound, you'll stay bound. But if you allow the word to paint a different picture in your mind and you begin to see yourself free, you'll begin to get set free. Hallelujah. And you'll live free. And so the first thing I've got to do, if that word's going to work in me, is that I've got to let it change the way I think. I've got to let it change the way my attitude about things. I've got to let it change how I approach things. I've got to let it change the way I see myself. Hallelujah. And so God begins to speak into him. Then the second thing we have to do, you don't have to turn there, but it's over in Mark's gospel, the 9th chapter in verse 23. Remember, the man brought his son to Jesus and he was possessed by this unclean spirit and the disciples couldn't get him free. And so he brings him to Jesus and he says, Lord, if you can do anything, have compassion on me and help my son. And Jesus looked at him and he said in verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Hallelujah. For the word to set me free, for the Lord to deliver me and set me free, what's the first thing I've got to do? I've got to hear it and receive it and let it begin to change my thinking. And then you know what I've got to do? I've got to believe it. Amen. I really have to believe it. Praise God. What's that mean? I have to embrace it. I have to lay hold of it. I have to believe it will really set me free. I really have to believe that Jesus will honor his word and he'll oversee that word and work his word in my life, and it will absolutely set me free from what's held me in bondage. Amen? You have to believe. If you don't believe, nothing works for you. How many of you know that? Found that out? Sure. Mark 11, 24. What, the old King James Version said it this way, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, it'll happen. No, that's the religious standard version. What's the real version? Amen? What's the real version? What's the real version? It says this, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What's that mean? It don't work till you believe. Hallelujah. How do I believe? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. So I have to hear that Word. I have to make a decision when I hear that Word. I decide at that moment, I'm either going to hang on to that which is holding me in bondage, or I'm going to lay it down, receive the Word, believe the Word, act upon the Word, and let the Lord set me free. Amen. And the reason I have to believe is an action verb. It means to take hold of that which the Lord said. I remember hearing Brother Hagin say many times, he said, listen, he said, if God speaks a word and you're sitting there and you don't know if it's you or not, just go ahead and jump over under it and grab it for yourself anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Why? Because the word's for all of us. And a lot of times we sit there and we say, well, I don't know if it'll work for me. It won't that with that attitude. Well, I know that was a good message, but you know, I just don't know about my, you know, I've got all these things. Well, you're still letting that filthiness and that overflow of wickedness control the way you see your life and the way you think and the way you act and what you're doing. And until you're willing to lay that down, you can't be changed. Amen? Until you stop seeing yourself as whatever it is that's got you in bondage and allow the Word to paint a different picture in your mind and in your heart, you can't be free. Because you see, you've got to let the Word change your attitude, your actions, and everything about you. And that's how the Lord sets us free. Amen? You don't do that, you're not going to get set free. But you know what happens whenever you do that? Let's go back to John 8:36 in the Amplified. So if the Son liberates you, oh, glory to God. If He liberates you, makes you free, then you are really and unquestionably free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what's that mean? That means that, praise God, until I see changes out here, I believe it in here, and what I believe in here is going to change everything out here. Amen? What I see in here, I'll eventually see out here, praise God. Come on, what I think in here will eventually happen out here. Because you see, the Word works from the inside out. And so God says the way Jesus is going to set you and me free is we're going to hear what He has to say. First of all, we're going to cry out to Him. Amen? What's that mean? David said over there in Psalm 107, he said, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. They cry out to Him. See, here's the thing, folks. The reason they were crying out to Him in their troubles, they didn't want to stay in trouble. The reason they were crying out for them in their distress is they didn't want to stay distressed. Amen? So really, we need to back up and take a step in there. The Lord just quickened me. He says, no, you need to back up. You missed a step. He said, you won't hear it, and you won't believe it, and you won't receive it until you want it. Come on, it's a spiritual law. The Lord can't set anybody free that don't want to be free. Because God will not override your will. Amen. So I just believe God can do anything. Well, you know, if that's the case, why doesn't He just get us all saved and we'll go in the millennial reign tomorrow? God get everybody saved. Why aren't you saved? Why aren't your friends saved? Come on. God can do anything. Heard Brother Hagin say one time, he was preaching one time, and he said, well, I believe God. Some guy yelled out, well, I believe God can do anything. He said, well, then why can't He get you to pay your tithes? Amen. He said that guy slid clear down on the pew in front of him. Hallelujah. Amen. No, God can't do anything. God can't lie. And God cannot break His own laws, and God cannot violate what He said He would do, and He will not violate your will. He'll protect your right to go to hell. Now, He'll send laborers across your path. He'll send the Word to you. He'll convict your heart. The Holy Spirit will fall on you. He'll do everything in His power to convince you for your salvation and try to bring you to Him. But if you won't receive Him, He will not force you to receive Him. How many of you know that? Amen. That's the same way it is with the rest of our life. We have to cry out to God. We have to want to be set free from whatever it is that holds us in bondage. Then when we cry out to the Lord, how's He going to set us free? He said He would set us free. How's He going to do it? He sent His Word and healed them and deliver them from their destruction. That's why I've been a word man all my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I know that God's Word has the power within it to change my life. God's Word has the power to change my circumstances, my situation. In fact, it has. It changed my attitude. It changed how I live. It changed my lifestyle. Praise God. Amen. That word has the life of God in it. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. So this book isn't just a book. All other religions have a book, but we have life. Hallelujah. This is the life of God. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was manifest. And now, praise God, God plants that Word into us. Amen. And so God sets us free by the Word. And he says, once the Lord sets you free, you're free indeed. But now, here, I preached all of that to get us to this. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 12. Because you see, somebody will come along about now and they say, well, you know, I was healed for a while, but then all the problems came up, so I don't guess I was really healed. Or, you know, I was delivered from this addiction for a while, but, you know, then I got around and it came back home and I'm worse than I was. Well, if I was really delivered, then why am I back in it? Well, if the Lord really set me free, then why am I not free anymore? Well, let's find out why you're not free if you're not free. Look in Matthew 12 and look down here in verse 43. And here's where I wanted to get to. See, first of all, I want to establish to you that if you really want to be free, and you really cry out to the Lord, he'll come to your rescue and give you his word, give you his anointing, and set you free and liberate you, and you'll be truly free. Amen? But now, look what happens in Matthew 12, 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, notice that he's really free. That's just unclean. This thing that's held him in bondage and kept him unclean and has kept him defeated is out of him. It's gone. Hallelujah. He goes through the dry places seeking rest and he finds none. In other words, this man really got set free. Would you agree? The enemy's gone. The bondage is gone. The addiction is gone. Whatever it is that was hindering him is gone. It's out. Then he says, who says? The spirit, that uncleanness, that whatever it was that was there before. I will return to my house from whence I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be to this wicked generation. Now, there's some truths here you've got to get a hold of, folks. Just because you got set free doesn't mean that the devil's going to leave you alone. Amen. I've had people come in and say, well, I got set free and I was free for about a week, but then it all came back up on me. Well, then, you know, I must have not totally been free. No, you was totally free. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. You were indeed free. This man was free. The unclean spirit that had held him in bondage was out. It was gone. But here's the thing you and I always have to understand. The devil will always try to counterattack. You understand that? He'll always try to come back and see if he can get back in. And more people are destroyed in their walk with God in a counterattack than they are the original attack. Amen? Listen, let me tell you something. A lot of people don't understand. They've known folks that were delivered from drugs. They're delivered from drugs for 6 or 7 months. And then they go out and they somebody talks them in. They try to do what they did before. And all of a sudden, they die of an overdose. And then they can't understand what happened. How did they do that? Why did that happen? Well, the Bible said here that he goes out and gets seven demons worse than himself and comes back. When you open the door up and he comes back, he's coming back loaded with reinforcements. He's coming back stronger and harder and meaner than he was before. And notice that spirit said, I'm going to go back to my house. He still thinks he owns you. Now, why would that demon, why would that hindrance, why would that addiction, why would that bondage, why would that thing that has been such a mess in your life, that has been set free, still think he has a right to be there and you're his? Because it wasn't you that drove him out. Jesus is the one to set you free. He knows Jesus can keep him out, but now he wants to know if you can keep him out. And now what he's going to do, he's going to come back and see who your allegiance is to. He's going to come back and see if you appreciate the one who delivered you and set you free. He's going to come back and see, does that house belong to Jesus, or is it still open for me to get back in? Notice how he finds the house. I want to tell you why he gets back in. Look down here in verse 44 again. And he finds, he says, I will return to my house from whence I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. The man is set free. He's been swept clean, and it's in order. He's coming to church. He's carrying a Bible. He's praising God that he got delivered. But there's a problem with that. There's a third thing, and he finds it's empty. All show and no dough. Inside, he's never committed himself to God. He's happy he got set free, but he still doesn't see himself any different than he was when he was still in bondage. Come on. Why? Because he is just, I'm celebrating my freedom. Hallelujah. I'm not bound. I don't feel this. I don't feel that. But you know what? Here's the problem. People have come in and gotten healed. Get healed by the Word of God. Jesus touched their life and they get healed. They didn't get in the Word. They didn't know why they got healed. They just cried out to the Lord and He healed them. And so then they celebrate their healing for a while. And then here comes a symptom. And you know what they do when that first symptom hits? They go, oh, man, I thought I was healed. What is this? If I was healed, why'd I have this symptom? And all of a sudden another symptom comes, and then another symptom. And the first thing you know, they're feeling bad, and they go, well, you know, I was pretty good for a while, but, you know, it's worse now than it ever was. I must not have been healed. Now, why would they think like that? Because they're empty. They're empty. What do you mean they're empty? Empty of what? Well, John tells us in John chapter 8. Let's go back over there again. John, the 8th chapter. Why is it that people are defeated by the counterattack? When the Lord swept them clean, Lord put their life in order. They're really free. They're free from that addiction. They're free from that hurt. They're free from that insecurity. They're free from that fear. They're free from that sickness. They're free from whatever it is that was setting them in bondage, because they cried to the Lord and He's good, and He heard their cry and He healed them and delivered them and set them free from that. But how did He do it? He sent His Word and heal them. Now, once you get healed, it's up to you to stay healed. Once you get delivered, it's up to you to stay delivered. Are you hearing me? Notice that it doesn't come back and say Jesus wasn't there. He says He came back to the man, and the man was there, but he had nothing to fight with. His house was empty of power. Why? John chapter 8 and verse 30. While Jesus spoke these words, He's talking to them over here. While Jesus spoke these words, many believed on Him. Hallelujah. In other words, they're believing based on the Word. They're believing in Jesus. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in my word, King James says, if you continue in my word, if you can stay with my word, then you shall know the truth, that you shall be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, make you free, set you free. Notice here, here's the thing you've got to get a hold of. The same word that delivered you will keep you delivered if you keep it in the house. Are you hearing me? The same word that healed you will keep you healed, but you got to get it in your heart. You got to get it in your house. You see, you've got to establish when the enemy comes back in that you're off limits to him. And you've got to have something in your house that's greater than him to keep him from coming back. What drove him out in the first place? The Word did. What's going to keep him out when he tries to come back? The Word. When Jesus was in the wilderness, what did he use to defeat the devil when he was hit with temptations? The Word. He just spoke the Word. Jesus is showing us our example. He was full of the Word. And when the devil offered him something that was wrong, he spoke the Word to him. Folks, let me tell you why we're being defeated today. It's not because Jesus didn't set us free, but it's because we haven't immersed ourselves into the Word. We haven't committed ourselves to the Word. Listen, I read Dodie Osteen's book. Whenever she got healed of cancer and God delivered her and set her free, she had a list of scriptures. And she would go through those scriptures even after she was was healed and pronounced totally healed by the doctors, that woman every day would take time and go through those same healing scriptures every day. In fact, I saw her years later on a TV program. She was there with her daughter and some others, and they came in and they said, yeah, I went to pick mom up. And she got in the car and says, wait a minute, I can't go anywhere. She goes, why? What's wrong? She said, I haven't gone through my scriptures yet. You're going to have to wait on me. She said, a half hour later, she came back out and got in the car. She says, okay, we can go now. Hallelujah. Somebody says, well, it sounds to me like she was just, No. She understood that what healed her was God working through the Word, and what was going to keep her healed was God working through the Word. Amen? And if the enemy ever tried to come back in and attack her, he was going to find her house swept, put in order, and full of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen? You and I, if we want to defeat the counterattack of the enemy, you're going to have to be so strong that when he touches you, the Word flows out of you. Hallelujah. And you stand on the Word, and you speak the Word, and you allow the Word to change the way you see yourself. See, a lot of times, folks, the reason we will talk, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. But you don't believe it. Why? Because Jesus said you have to abide in His Word. You have to stay in His Word. You have to continue in His Word until that Word becomes the truth of your life. Amen? And you have to make a commitment to the Lord. I'm never going into that. I can remember when I first got saved, I'd made a commitment to the Lord, and I'd gotten the Bible, and I was reading, I was getting hold of some scriptures, you know. And I can remember, you know, how many of you know that the world will still come back to find out if you're for real in what you say you believe? Anybody besides me ever been there? Sure. Well, I'd party with these guys. And this is before Bonnie and I had gotten married, and you know, and I was reading some Bible. I didn't have a Bible of my own, but I'd borrow one, and I'd read some scriptures, and I would pray, and I'd made a commitment. Lord, I'm going to change my life. I'm living for you, and I'm not going to go drink anymore. I'm not going to parties anymore. I'm not going to do this stuff. It's not my lifestyle. I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to church. I'm going to be a believer. I'm going to be a Christian. Hallelujah. And I can remember about 10 days after that, I'm walking across campus, and here comes a guy up, and he says, hey, we're having a party over such and such house. We're going to have a mad time. It's going to be wild. We're going to this, and blah, 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 blah. It was a drinking party and everything else. He says, okay, you coming? I said, no. He says, why not? I said, I'm not drinking. You want to be, you're almost a little timid. You're almost like you don't want to be this wild-eyed, crazy Christian. But you know what? The only way you can defeat the devil is to be a wild-eyed, crazy Christian. Come on. And you know, I was trying to get out of it, you know, without saying much. And so, you know, sinners can be real bold. I don't know why Christians have to be such crybaby whiners. Amen? But he reaches over, and he grabs my chin, and he jerks my mouth up and says, it looks like it's open. You can drink. He did. Did that to me. And so I thought, I'm done with this. So I just looked at him, I said, I could drink anything I want to. I don't want to. Jesus is my Lord. I don't need to drink booze. I don't need to pop pills. I don't need to smoke nothing because I'm already high enough in Jesus Christ, and I ain't going to do it. You want to get saved? Stay here. If you don't, get out of my face. And you know what? He turned and ran like somebody threw a firecracker down his shorts. Amen. And I found out then that's how you have to deal with the devil. You cannot mealy-mouth and whine and play. You've got to turn. That's why the Bible says, flee from the very appearance of evil. Run from it. Are you listening to me? I remember a friend of mine, he was talking about a pastor he knew, and he said this pastor was given a call, and it was an emergency call, and so he was looking for someone, and so there's having a crisis in the family, and he said he goes over there, and he opens the door, because he just rushed over there, and it's supposed to be a husband and wife, but it's just the wife, and she shows up, and this skimpy little thing says, oh, could you come in and help me? He went, ah, no, I can't, and ran off. Hallelujah. Somebody said, why? Because he said, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And you do never give any place to the devil. Amen? In other words, I'm committed to holiness, and I cannot come in this environment. If you're really in a crisis, we'll pray for you on the phone. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Come on, let's get real with this thing, folks. How many of you know this is a real thing? you're going to walk in freedom, you have to decide what side of the street you're going to walk on. You have to decide, am I going to be a word person or am I going to be tossed to and fro, in and out, in and out, in and out? Because you see, what has to happen is this. The devil knows Jesus will run him off, but he'll keep coming back until he knows you'll run him off. Amen? And for you to run him off, guess what you have to do? You have to be full of the Word of God. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. You know what that means? That means when I'm full of the Word to the point that I can share with you why I believe what I believe, I got my house full. I'm ready to stand my ground. I'm ready to overcome the enemy when he comes knocking on my door. Are you hearing me? The reason a lot of us are defeated is this. Your good intentions will not run the devil off when he shows up. The devil respects one thing, that's the Word of God. Come on. You want him to leave? You take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and you jab him a few times, and he'll walk right off and leave you alone. And he'll call his buddies up and say, he know he's going over there. That man will cut you to pieces with the Word of God. Amen. So you see, we need to have the Word working in us, folks. We need to stand on the Word. Somebody says, well, I just don't believe it's that important. Well, then why in Galatians 5:1 did the Lord say to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage? You can get entangled again. That's why in Galatians 5:1 he said, stand fast in your liberty. How about Hebrews 4:14? Seeing then we have a great high priest that's passed in the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, basically a faith. Meaning what? The devil can steal your confession. If he couldn't steal it, why did the apostle say hold fast to it? What's that mean? That means you can be talking faith one minute and talking defeat and failure the next. You can be talking I'm going to overcome and talking about where can I find my next whatever next. The devil will try to steal your confession from you. Revelation 3, the Lord said over there, he said what? He said, hold fast that which you have, let no man steal your crown. Hold it fast. Don't let somebody talk you out of what God has done and is going to do in your life. Amen? So the way that we stay free is to stay full of the Word. Listen, folks, I don't stay full of the Word because I'm afraid I'm going to get sick. I stay full of the Word because I know sickness is all around me and it's the Word that keeps it away from me. Are you listening to me? I'm not staying full of the Word because I'm afraid I'm going to cheat on my wife. I stay full of the Word because I know there's temptation all around me, but if I'm full of the Word, I know it ain't never going to come near me. I won't even have to deal with it. Are you listening to me? I don't have to worry about going out here and getting in drugs or getting drunk or going somewhere else and doing all this stuff. Why? Because I stay full of the Word and I'm not tempted with it. It's not attractive to me. It's not appealing to me. It has nothing that I want. They came out and said, red wine is good for the gut health. I said, yeah, but it's really bad for liver. Because most people can't drink a cup. They drink the bottle. And the first thing you know, they're defeated. Now, if you come on, say what you want to say. But it just happens. So if I can't stay away from it, if I can't keep from it dominating me, then I need to do something to keep myself from even being involved in it. Amen? Well, I just believe that having a beer here and there, that's no problem. I know Christians right now, they'll go and have a beer and this and that. But you know what? I grew up with a drunk, alcoholic grandfather. And you know what? I got him saved 18 months before he went home to be with the Lord. And you know what caused him to be an alcoholic? Some of his buddies said, oh, come on, let's just go have a beer one night. And he went out and had a beer, and then all of a sudden he was addicted the rest of his life. So what are you going to do with it? I've had people come up and say, just go ahead, try a little smoke here. It'll be okay. I mean, get you a buzz. Yeah, and the next thing I know, they're popping pills and they're shooting things in their veins. So, amen or oh me, but it's so anyway. Now, how do I stop myself from being caught up in all that stuff? First of all, in my distress or situation, I'm going to call out to the Lord. And I'm going to ask him to deliver me from that. And when he delivers me from all these things that can pull me down, guess what I'm going to do? I am then going to get in the Word and keep myself in a place where it cannot come back and pull me back into it. Now, we've dealt with some of these things that everybody talks about. How about fear, worry? You know, people are bound up by worry just as bad as they're bound up with drugs. Come on. How about insecurity? Let's talk about that a little bit. Walking around with this unworthy attitude about yourself because you messed up one time and you can't get free from it. Well, why don't you take that to the Lord and just ask Him to deliver you and set you free from it? And get set free from it, then fill yourself full of the Word until you don't have it operating in you anymore. And you all of a sudden, instead of seeing yourself as an old nobody, beat up nothing, why don't you start seeing yourself as more than a conqueror and an overcomer in this life in Christ Jesus? And when the enemy comes in and says, well, you're an old nobody, man, you can just look at him and tell him all you are in Christ. And you know what? He'll quit trying to condemn you all the time and hold you in bondage. See, there are counterattacks in everything, folks. Counterattacks. And if you and I are going to walk in victory, we need to be aware of the counterattacks and keep ourselves so full of the Word of God that nothing can touch us. And we no longer are His house. We're God's house. Amen? I'm not the temple of that enemy that held me in bondage. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when you come to this house, you're going to be introduced to my friend. Hallelujah. Amen? And me and Jesus are going to be the majority. Praise God. Now, also, here's another thing you need to do. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what he's saying there? He's saying you should be so full of the Holy Spirit. What happens if you see someone that's drunk and they get intoxicated? What happens to them? It begins to influence how they live, how they talk, how they act. You know what he's saying? He said you should be so full of the Holy Ghost that He influences how you talk, the way you act, and the way you think, and what you do. Amen? Yeah. So, if you and I want to be free, what do we need to do? Get full of the Word, get full of the Holy Ghost, and let Jesus be Lord of our life. Amen? Amen. Then, you know then, when you make a decision, it's a godly decision, it's a right decision, and it's a decision that will lead you to life, not a decision that will lead you to death. Amen? Amen.